Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I am Renzi. I'm on the grid, and so raging. And Cam Stewart, it's great to be throwing it down. Game time decisions, though. Hours in right now with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We're gonna have some great guests throughout the week, like we did last week. We'll definitely talk a lot about the NFL draft. That's one thing that we have, guys, to bet on right now, and we're all gonna be draft experts when this thing's all said and done.
It's an excellent point.
Everything about every player, because there's nothing else to really break down right now. But hell of a draft, Cam, this year, isn't it? We talk about, you know, the quarterbacks, a couple of these guys are pretty good. But, you know, the wide receivers, arguably the deepest wide receiver draft class ever. I think it is. I don't think, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, if there are successes, there's going to be stars, there's going to be busts, there'll be Hall of Famers, right? But there's just so many of them. Me and Cam talked about it. Guys that are, like, really good are, like, ranked 17th out of wide receivers and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, the running backs, pretty good running back class this year in the National Football League draft too, Cam.
You said it, buddy. And I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be interesting. Think about this. It's going to be interesting to see how many running backs, Gabe, go in the first round. But I'll tell you, right after around, you know, like pick 32, 34, there's going to be tons of guys taken in the second round. That's the thing. Like, you look at the guys in the second and the third round, I think there's a lot of quality there. You said it, though. The wide receiver class, we were talking 15, 17 deep. There's still a lot of good running backs. The question is, though, I don't think a running back's going to go early, but I think that second round is where you can pounce on some running backs.
I agree. We talk about it. We heard Mickey Loomis. We talked about Mickey Loomis, Saints general manager, say, listen, NFL drafts aren't fantasy football drafts, right? And I think that a lot of these skill position players are going to go later. They're almost getting punished because the class is so deep, right?
Yeah.
Talked about a guy like T. Higgins. T. Higgins is really good, but no one's going to take him in the first round. They're going to know I can get him later. And even if I miss out on him, I can get someone, you know, comparable. So, you know, I think it's going to be a very similar situation when it comes to the running backs as well. But I'll tell you, Cam, there doesn't seem to be too much debate out there about who the first running back taken is going to be. And we're talking about DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, no, there's a couple sites that I see that have Swift and Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU mixed one and two, but they're the consummate number one and two picks. And I got to be honest with you, Gabe, I like Swift more. I'm with you. I just think even though he played a lot more at Georgia, he's a little bit bigger at 5'8". I think he can put a little more meat on the bone too. It's just a guy that I really, really like and I think can thrive. He's got a great burst too. Like through the hole, Swift is the guy. There's so many things I like about him. He's got power. He's got explosive power. He's very shifty. Good outside runner, good inside runner. The kid from Georgia, he's my go. I know people like the running back from LSU, but I got to tell you, I think Swift is the best out of both guys. I would lean to him. I've seen some mocks with that have them flipped, but I think Swift, for me, if you were going to say who was the first back taken, I would go with Swift from Georgia as well.
Well, Swift's draft prop is over under 28.5 right now at FanDuel. And FanDuel's posted a whole plethora of new props for us to chew on as well. But DeAndre Swift, his prop is 28.5. And then the next drop after that goes to Jonathan Taylor over at FanDuel.
Wow.
Wisconsin, wow. Badger running back, 37.5 over under. Swift is interesting. I think Swift could go before 28.5. I think people don't like taking running backs in the top five, in the top 10, et cetera. He's not going that high, but he's so good, Cam, that out of 32 general managers, they're not going to let him pass. Like, you know, think like a team like the Miami Dolphins, a good example. Dolphins, Cam, have two first-round picks, right?
Yeah,
they're drafting fifth, right? And then they have the they have whatever the pick they got for the Pittsburgh Steelers in a Minka Fitzpatrick deal. So they have two picks. So I'm saying, like, they need a running back, too. They can get, like, a star running back, Miami.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Like, a guy like Swift later. Like, I think that draft position is pretty – remember, like, Buddy on the Patriots from Georgia. He went, like, right around then. What? Right, like, 30 and a half type thing. Yep. Like, 30th. That was his number. Late first round. I think Swift – and, man, these Georgia – Georgia is like a running back factory.
Sure is.
Right now.
Sure is.
I mean, it started pretty much while Herschel Walker, the greatest of them all, with Todd Gurley, Sonny Michel. We talked about with the Patriots, Sonny Michel. Nick Chubb's really, really good, too. Like, they don't give him the ball enough in Cleveland.
I agree.
Thank you. And people think the Andre Swift is better than all those guys.
You know what it is, Gabe? I look at the running backs, and it's different. Like, in the receivers, we basically had our guys. In the running back, it's interesting, though. Like, you see Taylor, he could be ranked third. I've seen him at fourth. And you know what I mean? After, there seems to be a big, big crop of where between 28 and a half and like 55, like all these guys. And I know general managers are going to have different opinions on guys. I have a couple opinions about the guys, but that's the thing. You said it. The running back position, people talk about it all the time. Oh, we could fill in a guy at running back. And, you know, Drake goes from Miami to Arizona there. And, like, you know what I mean? Boom. You talk about it. The Dolphins definitely need a running back, though. Ballage is horrible. He averaged under 2 yards a carry. They got that white guy, Laird. He's okay. You know, he catches a couple
balls. They need a real back. The Dolphins.
Don't get these draft picks.
It's time, if you're the Dolphins, to start putting stuff together for real now, right? And you've got the chips to do it. You got to get good players now.
That's the thing. You're rolling out third stringers and stuff. It's not going to work. Ballage is not a go-to number one guy. You said it. You could go with Swift. You could go with a couple.
I think if you're the Dolphins, if you came out of the first round and you got Tua and DeAndre Swift, as a Bills fan, I'd be like, I don't like that. Like, you know what I mean?
And they could do it very easily, right? That's the thing. There's going to be good running backs on the board, as you mentioned. Like, there's going to be some steals, Gabe, between running backs like 2 and 5. I think it's going to be unbelievable because a lot of these guys are projected second, late second round picks. And I think they have first round talent if you really watch them.
I agree.
Them.
And we talk about Jonathan Taylor.
Amazing.
Jonathan Taylor's a really, 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 really good running back.
Couldn't agree more.
I think, you know, most people will have him as the second guy. You talk about Hilaire, though. Hilaire's very good as well. But, you know, you look at what Taylor could bring to the table for a football team. And I know you kind of compare him to Melvin Gordon. You know, I know they played in the same system, but Taylor's faster than Melvin Gordon. Like, Taylor is really fast. Like, he's got breakaway speed. And he's proved to be pretty durable, too, Cam. You didn't get hurt. Like, he got hit a lot. He got carries.
He's better than Gordon because we've watched Taylor, Gabe. Even for a guy, like, he takes hits. You said it. Durability is his strength. We've seen him, too. They didn't mind feeding him the rock 25 times, right?
Why did you say that, Cam, about first-round grade, and I'm here. You know what a really good website is, guys, for the NFL draft? Is Walter Football.
Oh, yeah, he's good. Very good.
WalterFootball.com. WalterFootball.com. And a great, great draft site. And I'm reading here, per sources, three teams have – Jonathan Taylor graded as a second round pick. 9 teams had him graded as a first round pick.
Wow.
Right? So that's what I'm saying. You're going to get a first round pick talent in the second round now with Jonathan Taylor. The question is, over under 37 and a half, I don't think guys like drafting running backs, Cam. They like to wait. I would go over 37 and a half. I would say under 28 and a half for Swift. Over 37 and a half for Jonathan Taylor. He'll go like 45th or something like that, 47th, in the 40s.
I love you, Gabe, but I don't know, man. If me or you and GMs and I see Jonathan Taylor sitting there, it's just like just watching those Wisconsin games, how dynamic the guy is. Like, I wouldn't want to be waiting around. Like, if you kind of needed a running back or even another guy, I'd just be going, I think I got to pull the trigger with him because I think he's going to be a special type of player. I'm a real big fan of Jonathan Taylor. It's shocking to me. Like, people are talking like late second, like he should be late first, early second, in my opinion. I think whoever lands him, they're getting a steal.
And I tell you what, you were talking about Allaire. Hilaire's a really good player too. Kind of lost in the shuffle at LSU because of Joe Burrow, right? And Jefferson and Moss and all the receivers that they had and stuff. Who was the other kid too? Jefferson, Moss. Who was the other guy?
They had.
There's one more kid. He's not in the draft. He's going to back to the end. He's back with LSU. You know who I'm talking about. Anyway, see, he's not in the draft. So, but Hilaire, you know, people don't realize this, Kev. 55 receptions for Hilaire last year. And that's the one thing, guys, that a lot of college running backs, they're not good out of the backfield. Like, there's not a lot of screen plays and stuff to running backs in college. Some teams will do it, but like you notice even like all the Bama guys, Cam, they're not really great out of the backfield catching passes. Like, look at Derrick Henry, you know what I mean?
He's a plow.
a lot of those running backs, they basically give him the ball and they say, just run, kid, go straight forward, right? And then you get your guys, you'll get guys all that are in the fourth round and they like him because he can catch a ball, right? I mean, Bellagio is a great example of that. People like him when he caught some balls out of Arizona State. Yeah, well, he's not that good, but whatever, he can catch a ball. Thing is, Hilaire's good. He can catch passes, Cam. He's like that LSU system is a pro-style set, right? The guy was with the Saints before. The OC of LSU.
Who does he remind you of? He reminds me of a bet like a Darren Sproles that could be more electrifying.
Yeah. You think? Yeah, 5'7". I didn't realize he was that
little. He's small, man. He's a little pop. He pops. He's a little guy, but he really, Gabe, when you think about it, when did he get hurt? He was nursing an injury before the national championship game. But other than that, for a small guy, because he was shifty, he didn't really have that crazy, like, career-threatening type of thing. Like, he's tougher. Wow. For a 5'7 guy, he's pretty tough.
He averaged 6.6 yards a carry.
Amazing.
6.6 yards a carry in the SEC. It's impressive.
Sure is.
Here's another interesting running back. So we talk about Swift. So Cam, me and Cam disagree. Cam thinks under the 37.5. The next back here, actually, FanDuel skips right over Hilaire for one reason or another, at least what we're looking at now. And, they'll have him up. But they put J.K. Dobbins up. And I tell you what, as a Michigan fan, I saw how good this kid was firsthand. He was pretty much unstoppable, actually. Like, this, to me, Cam, he's a real sleeper.
I agree.
Like, the pick is 52.5.
Under!
Like, whatever under team gets him, like, he could be a star type thing in the end. Like, I think he might be the guy. Like, they're all so good, these guys.
They are.
You know what I mean? But I think, to me, there's something about Dobbins. When I look at him, I'm like, this guy will be really good in the NFL. Like, he sort of like Kamara good. Like, I think Dobbins could be a star type thing.
It's kind of crazy. You're right. And Swift will be the first back taken. And I know the Georgia backs are good. When I really look at it in the big games, Gabe, it's Dobbins. And remember the game, too, against Clemson? Like, he was hurt, too, and then he still was there. Like, he was an absolute monster. You couldn't bring him down. He is electrifying.
2,000 yards. I don't know. You run for 2,000 yards in a Big Ten, and people are talking about you.
I got to be honest with you. He's a first-round talent. And I'm going to tell you, if we were in the war room, buddy, he'd be probably, like, I almost want to take him as the first back. There's something about him.
A fast first step and is also hard to tackle. So, that's the thing with him. There's a combination. Like, I remember him, too. Like, he's a little, what he reminded me of a little bit was Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, like, doesn't get the credit that he deserves, sort of, like, for the art that he does. Like, he pisses people off because, he waits. Remember, like, the way he was really in Pittsburgh? Sometimes he'd stand there for 2 seconds, and people are like, what are you doing, bro? But he's looking, and he can see things, right? And I'm telling you about Dobbins, that he sort of reminds me like that, Cam, where I saw him wait and hesitate a couple of times. He's like, nah, the hole's not there yet, but it will be in a second. And then he pops through it, and then it takes 2 or 3 guys to get him. Like, the first guy's not tackling him, and he's pretty fast. He ran a 4.5, which is pretty fast for a running back. For a guy that's physical, like, he's got the whole package, 5'9", 210, 4.5 speed, 2,000 yards rushing, durable. You know, there's a lot to like about the kid. But we talk about catching passes. He only caught 23 passes.
Yeah, I know. But the thing about him is, and this is what I look for in a running back too. What type of running back can, when you watch Dobbins play and you were in those games, when you need to make a stop, he didn't let you. Just plowed by you.
He always got the first down.
First down. Like, and that's what the team needs, right? Like, a team, like Cleveland has their back in Chubb, but if you're going to get better, like you need a team that needs to look and say, we got to win a game where we bury the team in the fourth quarter and our will is just better than
their will. I think the Buffalo Bills actually can.
I was thinking Seattle would need a back like Seattle. Like I know they have Penny, but
yeah, no, he's not good enough. Changer. Exactly. And even Singletary. I like Singletary. He's good. But look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Like teams that win Super Bowls are stocked with talent, guys. Look at the Patriots over here. You don't worry about hurting people's feelings in the NFL. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Belichick drafts the same position players in the same draft, even. He'll draft two running backs at once, right? Like, you can't, you know what I mean? You have to have talent. You can't just think, well, all right, we have Singletary and he's pretty good. He'll be our number one back. Well, there's going to be a big drop off between Singletary and then who's our backup, right? And then who's going to push Singletary? Like, I don't have a problem with it. Like, I would bring in another running back to push him. Maybe they'll bring in a veteran because that's what they did last year with Gore. Listen, it's time for Singletary to be the guy. But at the same point in time, you need more than one running back in today's NFL camp. Guys get hurt all the time, bro.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's the thing. Like, let's give our kudos to Frank Gore, one of the best, like, for longevity. But enough is enough. Like, you've had a brilliant career, Frank. It's amazing. But you need to have a 1-2 punch in Buffalo. And this is the year, Gabe. When you really look at about how many teams in the AFC are truly better than the Buffalo Bills, I can name maybe a couple. Kansas City, sure. And you could argue Baltimore, but you're still not afraid of them. What's going to happen with Lamar Jackson? Is he going to regress? Allen's going to be better. The defense is incredible. This is it. Hey, Buffalo, New England, they have a changing of the guard right now. This is the thing. The team that was your nemesis and beat you twice.
That's why they traded everything for Diggs. Yes. They went all in, right?
Yes. The Buffalo Bills are true. And I'm not just saying this because I do a show with you. I've been thinking about it. They're a Super Bowl contender. They are one of the best top five or six teams in the league.
Like, they're one of the best teams in the AFC. Like you said, Kansas City are the defending champions. The Baltimore are good.
But other than that, who's better than Buffalo?
And I tell you what, Cam, I like Lamar Jackson. I know you do too. And we were pro Lamar last year at this time coming out of the draft. But with that being stated, Baltimore is going to regress a bit. Like, they had that wicked season. They're not getting, and Lamar will get figured out a little bit. Teams are going to look and go, all right, 60% of the time you see when he did this, he actually threw instead of running. Like, they're going to start figuring it out a bit. He's so fast. And another thing is, we've seen it all the time, man, with these quarterbacks, right? Like, Michael Vick lit it up. They figured it out a little bit. They know, okay, yeah, he's fast, but we just got to clog this part of the field. This is where he runs when he goes, right? And there's more game tape. You know, there's not a lot of tape on Lamar, but you saw. And you saw in the playoffs, man. What happened? They frustrated the hell out of him.
That's the thing.
Right? So they knew. They were like, you know what? Just frustrate the hell out of him. Make him throw to the open man. And make it harder. Don't let him take off. And you saw, they boxed him in, and you saw he was dancing around. He was making weird decisions. He was throwing the ball like he wasn't in his. Look at Kaepernick, bro.
Yep.
Kaepernick, they went right to the Super Bowl. They owned it. You couldn't stop him. Even Harbaugh said, like a year and a half in, he's like, he told Kaepernick, we got to come up with some new things.
Yes.
You're getting killed, and people know what we're doing. Right? Like, you got, but Harbaugh and the other Harbaugh who coaches Lamar, he's a smart guy. They're going to adapt a bit too. But I'm just saying, Baltimore are good. But listen, Buffalo are right there. I think Buffalo are pretty much as good as Baltimore. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk more NFL football.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Morenci, throwing it down to Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and Cam lives on the grid. It's game time decisions, although I'll tell you what, with all the NFL draft talk that we're doing, I think we can call the show draft time decisions leading in to the National Football League draft, as the draft is going on as scheduled right now with the National Football League. Interesting, though, there was a story that broke, I guess it was like late Friday or so, you know, maybe it was Saturday, whatever, over the weekend, Cam, about NFL general managers. Now, there's an NFL, there's a general manager committee, okay? And there's seven of them. And it's basically, you know, they're the NFL, just committees in the league. So the NFL subcommittee, it's called, of seven general managers. They had a vote on whether they wanted to have the NFL draft go on as planned. Do you know what the result was, Cam?
What, 4-3? 6-1
against it.
Wow.
6-1. So, like, we're talking about the draft. We're more excited about the draft than NFL general managers are. Like, the NFL general managers are telling Goodell, we can't do a draft and draft players if we can't meet with them. And we can't have physicals. And there's a lot of stuff goes into this. You know what I mean? Into drafting a player, as I stated earlier, Mickey Loomis said, the Saints general manager, he said, this isn't fantasy football. He did an interview on the radio with Peter King, the podcast, Peter King podcast. And he said, you know, Pete, this isn't fantasy football. You know, you just don't draft players off a piece of paper in the NFL. He said, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And quite frankly, we can't do it. And he said, you know, you can do it, but we're not going to be able to put the work in that we need to do. Now, one thing, though, Kev, everyone's in the same boat. So it's not like any team has an advantage over another team in this situation. And so it was 6-1 against it. And I often disagree with Roger Goodell, but one thing that Goodell has a good point about that I will stress here. So, but I'm going to get to something like that somehow Goodell always has to do, like, be a villain, though, again, is Goodell said, Cam, we can't suspend the draft because we don't even know if things are going to be better in May or something after.
I agree.
Like he said, we can't start a domino effect. Like, we just have to go on with it and live with it the way it is. And Goodell said it's for the good of the country if we have the draft and gives people something. And I think you can go on with the draft. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to be in danger. People are going to be isolated. People, you know, whatever. Joe Burrow is going to be at home on his couch. Hey, Joe, congratulations. Number one pick. Right? It's going to be just like this. Going to join people online. And, right, like, they can pull it off. I understand the GM's perspective that they don't like it. But it is what it is. We're in the middle of a crisis here. And if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? I actually agree with Goodell on that. What I don't like about Goodell is in the same memo, he told people that he's going to fine them. He said you face disciplinary action if you speak negatively about the draft. So, like, he warned them because he got pissed off about the Loomis interview. So he told all the other GMs and everyone in the NFL, yeah, you can't say there shouldn't be a draft. If you don't have anything nice to say about the draft, don't say anything or I'm going to fine you. That's ridiculous.
I got to tell you something, Gabe, and this is the thing. What is this, communist China? That's the thing about Roger Goodell. So in America, land of the free, we're not allowed to have an opinion about something. You know what? Sorry. Maybe somebody does have a bad opinion of it. But I do agree with this. The draft must go on. And you said it. It's not going to take a lot. The players that they have, they already know where they're going to be drafted. You go into the home, you know, they sit there. Hey, Joe, you're the first round pick. Next, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be old school, but it works. And you're saying this too. We don't know what the hell's going to happen 2 months down the road. This is the day it's slated for, and we still hope that we can get the season. But Roger Goodell, and I agree with you, you can't tell people to put a muzzle on people, or you can't have an opinion. You can't speak bad of this league. And that just bothers me. That's a guy. You know what? How about you get tougher and take it? People don't have to agree with everything you say.
That's the thing, too. There's crazy. Also another side of it that we talked about it earlier, Cam, about NBA and these soccer leagues. Yeah, you want to go on. Let's say you can pull it off. It's in bad taste. Like, you know, the numbers exponentially keep growing. I mean, they were talking today, Cam. I saw the press conference, and they were saying if 100,000 people pass, it's a success in the United States. They were saying that's a success.
That doesn't sound like a success to me.
I know. You know what I mean? So there's a worst case scenario. So I'm just stating the news, if everyone, every channel in the news, bro, like if it's this bad, and hey, everyone, look at us. We're making a bunch of rich kids here and we're playing football and hey, everybody, everything's fine. It could look bad. Like there's a couple other people in the NFL that brought that up saying, not only is it hard for the draft, but like, we're going to look bad and try to pull this off. Like we could, like the optics could be bad of this, but Goodell said the optics aren't bad. And I get it. Goodell wants to play hero and save America. You know what I mean? Yeah. The NFL can't be stopped and all that type of stuff. And Dana White admitted it too.
Yeah.
Like they said to Dana, why are you so persistent on like trying to pull this off? And why can't you just take a couple of months off like everybody? And he said, I want to be the guy to fight and beat this. And he didn't even hide it. He said, I want to be the guy to like, but it's pretty bad, Cam. Excuse me. And you know you got problems like when you're the UFC. It's a good example. So with Tony Ferguson and Khabib, massive fight. They've been scheduled to fight five times. And every time something happens, and now coronavirus. Like I said, it's almost like these two should shake hands and raise each other's arm and say, we're never fighting. Like it's just, it's not meant to be. Right? So, but Dana White said, I want to be the guy to, you know, he said, I'm not rolling over for this virus. I'm going to be the guy. Business goes on.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, it's easier said than done. Yeah. I respect his entrepreneurship for trying. Yep. But the other day, Cam, Joe Rogan said, I'm not even going to go.
Yeah.
Like Joe Rogan said, I don't care where it is. I'm not going. So, and he said, they said, well, why? He goes, because I don't want to get coronavirus. That's what he said.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm on Joe Rogan's side.
And like people on Twitter, I think it was Tebow tweeting me. He goes, well, if it's not safe for Joe Rogan to be there, is it safe for anyone else to be there, right? You know what I'm saying? Like if, so you're a company, it's almost like the NFL. Like Joe Rogan saying, Dana, I'm not even going to go announce this thing. So put it on, but I'm out, right?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. It's like these guys want to play Captain America, but the problem is, guys, what do you get your PhD in? You run UFC, you run NFL. You're not a doctor.
You're not a medical expert. Yeah.
You're not a medical expert. You don't know exponentially how these things are going up. So I don't care if you want to do this. And great. Yeah, we all want life to get like as it was, Gabe. We love life to be normal. You want to be able to go down to the sports book, see Callaway and all those guys. Unfortunately, the world we're living in right now, if one of these guys have it, boom, you talk about it. One case times seven, right? So for every time all these other things happen, it's seven times the effect. So see, people got to stop being selfish. I know it sucks. You know what? Stay in your home or whatever. You can't be out partying. You can't go meet people. It's just life. Go grab your essentials and get back home. And that's the thing. These guys want to do it, but I don't care what they want to do. It doesn't matter. Your intentions could be, yeah. And the bottom line is this, when it comes to Dana and stuff, as we talked before, and our money. And this, and you said it, but I'll tell you, man, it's just, it is almost in bad faith. Like I understand you want to be different from the other federations, but maybe it's time for you guys to step in line because you really don't know how dangerous it is if you think you could just beat this thing. This is crazy. It's a pandemic. It's not a sniffles and the cold. It's crazy. People could die.
You know what's really nuts too? So I talked about this with Kevin Walsh. We did like pretty much a whole hour of wrestling talk, Kevin.
He loves wrestling, Walsh.
Oh, yeah. But it was all relevant sort of, you know, for today's society, but so WrestleMania, you talk about money.
Oh, yeah. Man,
like, what a nightmare for Vince McMahon going on right now. WrestleMania, that's like the Super Bowl for him. They literally make hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, it's their everything. Like, WrestleMania, it's everything's built, the road to WrestleMania. It's everything's built to WrestleMania, right?
Wrestling fans buy stuff. It's not like the one guy who just goes to the game. Like, they get
teased. Oh, no. Like, Dana, Like, Dana can go on and doesn't care if there's fans. Vince McMahon's like, I just lost 84,000 fans, bro. They were going to be in like a football stadium.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and all the merch. And like you said, you know, now you sell merch online and it's just not the same. But I brought this up, Kev. And I know you watch wrestling a bit, you tune in and out, whatever. But just for the curiosity's sake, I saw I was on a website and they said, SmackDown has no fans tonight. It'll be interesting to see how they pull it off. And I watched a bit of it. And people were sort of saying, oh, they pulled it off pretty good. but I didn't think so.
I agree with you.
I watched it, and I was like, wow, it's not working at all. Like, but the thing is, Cam, like, they came out, they were looking to, like, fake crowds. They did everything the same. And even Stone Cold's bit was no good without a crowd. It was awkward, and it was almost like, man, you guys are really bad. Like, it's, you're not. So I just saw now, Cam, right before we came on here, the ratings are tanking right now for WWE. And it's crazy because people are at home. Ratings should be going up, not down. The product doesn't work, right? It's already a bad product, the WWE, as it is, right? Like, it's not even wrestling. It's just a bad product. He's had problems with this. He knows it, but he doesn't fix it. And he's got NXT, which is his thing. It's supposed to be good. But that All Elite stuff is killing them, Ken.
Yes.
Like, All Elite is, like, surpassed them. Like, All Elite got nearly 1 million viewers the other night. And NXT got 600,000.
Want to know why, Gabe?
That's a nightmare.
This is a simple thing. And we're not businessmen, but me and you could figure it out. And me and Walsh have talked about it. You are forgetting the middle-aged man. You're forgetting the guys that grew up on wrestling. All the stuff, it's kids' play. You know what the problem with kids is? They don't buy tickets to WrestleMania. Their parents do, and their uncle does, and this and that. The age group of wrestling are all going to Elite Wrestling right now because they're looking for something. It's something different, and it works in a smaller stadium.
And that's a good point that you raise. And all the Elite Wrestling, they got some young guys, but it's mostly middle-aged, older wrestlers.
Yes.
But guys that we like. Hey, there's Chris Jericho. There's Matt Hardy. It right? Works. Like, they've got sort of cool guys. Your boy Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, I guess, is that. So, but, and it's interesting because then I watched All Elite Wrestling without fans. And it was almost better.
You know,
like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, they're so good. Like, Chris Jericho is so good on a mic. Like, it's like WWE, like, was doing, like, Stone Cold's like, what? To the crowd. Like, yeah, there's no crowd. Like,
yeah.
And I like Chris Jericho. He's like, he's telling someone, there's no fans here. He goes, what are you looking at? Like, buddy got on the ropes and he did this. And Jericho's, he goes, you're an idiot. He goes, there's no one here. What are you doing? He goes, who are you waving to? Right. So he played it. Yeah, it was funny. But the camera work is great. They went right in Jericho's face and he got all serious. And I talked about it. Cam, he argued with a drone. There's a drone that's a wrestler.
See, I love it. See, this is what,
that's what I'm saying. Like, Vince wouldn't do that. He'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, it's dumb, right? Like, that's what's supposed to be the wrestling. It's fun. So basically, it's Chris Jericho and a drone is hovering in front of him. And he's like, you're a piece of crap. Like, he's looking at the drone. He goes, I've never liked you. And he goes, I think you're arrogant. He's going off, like, on a list, like it's a person. Oh, and then, but so the drone's like hovering kind of mad. And then Jericho goes, but I want you to join forces with me. And then the drone sort of considering, like hovering around, he's thinking about it. And then the drone says, no. Like, the drone like takes off. He's like, you're going to regret this. You're going to regret, like he's, but he made it work, right? It was just so good. And then Hardy came in and Hardy's like Shakespeare now. This guy's speaking in a weird accent and rattling off Shakespeare stuff.
Yeah.
And
like, no, that's
like, it was entertaining. Right? It was like, wow, these guys don't need crowd. Like, it's almost better without the fans.
It is, because these guys also know, as a smaller federation, and they know it works. Gabe, think about this, too. When Daniel Bryan got good, that yes, yes, yes doesn't work without the crowd. Everything in WWE is a response to what you're doing. It's not a one-man play. So you have to change your act in the way you do things.
I've said this about the WWE fans. They're kind of jerks in that sense that they took control of the company. Right. And I swear, once you listen to the fans, you become a fan. I was a Buddy Ryan line, the coach. Yep. He said, buddy, the fans wanted you to go for it. You didn't go for it. He said, listen to the fans. You end up sitting next to the fans, as in you'll get fired. And
well said.
Remember, like, oh, we don't like Roman Reigns. We don't like this guy. We're going to boo him. And we're going to make you change your script because we don't like it. It's like, dude, you're Vince McMahon. You put together the script and you tell him to shut up and like it. Not the other way around. Because once the fans start doing it, a great example is from The Simpsons. When they got all the kids in the room, and they said, what's your favorite super toy? What do you want? I want it in lasers. I want this. It was an abomination, right? They listened to everyone. And ended up being this.
And like his uncle listened to Homer with the car, Unky Herb. Like, Homer's a good guy and all, but he shouldn't be drinking. I want a cup holder for my soda. The side. It's like, no, Hunky Herb.
Oh, that was it. The car by Homer.
Yeah. See, listen to Homer. And they're like, ooh, this car's really ugly.
Yeah, this car sucked.
Yeah, it's got my
bedroom. Remember, they were like, oh, yeah, let's get the common man to do it, right? Yeah. He's going to do it. No. You know, he did a crappy product. Like, yeah. It was a dumb idea. So it's like, yeah, the fans might be right about one thing. And, all right, they don't like this. But... you know, dude, it's like fans. I wouldn't want it. I see Raptor fans. I prefer Masai Ujiri draft players than Raptor fans can. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. No. And that's the thing that WWE, and we brought it up a long time ago, the way their format is in a situation like this, it just proves now the little man has an advantage because every way they attack the situation is funnier and more real.
It's a reset button, this stuff. You're right. Especially without fans for the time being, Vince is screwed. It's a great point here. Everything about the WWE, you suck. What? And everything is interactive with the crowd. It doesn't work. All Elite is working. And also All Elite, they actually wrestle for real.
Yeah.
Like, and All Elite's pretty good, Cam. Like, they actually punch each other and stuff. I was surprised. Like, Buddy came in and, like, man, he punched someone in the face. It wasn't like a fake wrestling. Like, he didn't, like, you know, try to kill him. But you know what I was like, wow, these guys, they're all hardcore guys, right? Hardy, Moxley, Ambrose, they're tough guys. They want that, right?
They're also guys in their career that have been at the pinnacle and pissed it away a little bit and got it back. These guys in the WWE, a lot of the wrestlers haven't reached that level. Like, it's kind of like a radio show host, right? You're at the top and something bad happens to you.
And
these
WWE guys, Cam, are burnt out because Vince works them so hard. They're working 270 nights a year. They're out there every night and it's just the same shtick. They don't really raise it up a notch too much. They save it for the pay-per-views. But I always want to bring it up because WrestleMania is very unique. And everything gets ruined now in the sense that I said, well, at least WrestleMania, well, it'll be the biggest bet WrestleMania ever. Like, because, wow, people, like, already bet on WrestleMania. It's not just a bet on next week, WrestleMania. Unfortunately, it's being taped as we speak. Like, I was wondering, how are you guys going to do WrestleMania even without, like, there's too many people in the production, and they knew it. They can't. They're taping, like, one match a day type thing, Ken. So it's like, all right, you come in here. We're going to do this. So it destroys the betting because it's taped and the sportsbooks know now that people know who won.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on a grid, sports grid. I am Marenzi. I'm on the freaking grid, and so is the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Just to quickly wrap up what we were talking about. So, yeah, WrestleMania is coming up. It's too bad because we were talking about the NFL draft. It's something to bet on. And I was going to bet on WrestleMania. I bet on WrestleMania in the past.
Yep.
Yeah, I do it for entertainment purposes. A couple of years ago, I bet too much. I really got into it one year, Cam. Like, I was watching it. I didn't have cable. I moved into this condo years ago. It was in Liberty Village with the studio there. When I first got there,
no cable.
I said, I don't even want to pay for cable. What am I getting? There was only baseball on. It was summer. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch or whatever. I got basically once the season was over, et cetera. So I did a little cord cutting for a little while, but I couldn't live without it, Cam. I had to get the cable back.
Of course you did.
Because the problem is, I had 2-3 computers going, so I was like, oh, I'm good. I got 2-3 computers. And what it was, Cam, I was getting mad. Cable never had games that I was watching. You know what I mean? Like, I was betting weird, random college games and stuff, or like different sports, and I was never getting what I wanted. And because I couldn't get like the sports pack in that condo. It was long story short, anyways. Long story short, I was watching like a lot of Monday Night Raw. Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, it didn't suck for that summer. Like, whatever, leading the winter leading into WrestleMania. It didn't suck. So I sort of knew the storylines and everything. And then I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to bet on it. And I was surprised. The limits weren't too low.
Like, they circa about 500, which is
good. Like, I put 50 on something. I was like, all right, no, let me put 50. I put another 50. Yeah. Like, so I ended up, like you said, it was about 500 a fight. One place was up to $2,000. They were taking up to two dives.
Yeah.
I knew that guy Fight Ghost on Twitter. I don't know if you know him a bit, but used to be around more. But he bet $2,000 a match and stuff.
Wow.
That's some hardcore stuff. I got up to about 300 a match, 250, you know what I mean? But it added up, Ken. I had like $1,700 at stake on WrestleMania.
That's the best. Preconceived outcome. I got $2,000 on
it. Yeah. So I had about $1,700, Cam, and then I got nervous before. Because I was like, what did I do? I'm like, why? I have $1,700 on a wrestling event. So I was like, well, I better get a drink. So I started drinking. And then I'm pacing. I'm watching WrestleMania in my place. I'm pacing around. And I pretty much broke even. Like, I got saved. I took, like, every underdog, Cam.
Yeah.
You know, like, plus 400, plus 650, plus 380. And they all lost. Like, it was a very predictable card, but I got saved by a couple. Like, I hit a plus 240 for 200. I hit like a, I ended up losing a bit, but it wasn't a nightmare. It was frustrating. It was actually fun, but I wouldn't put that much on it again. But and like I said, I was looking forward to betting on it next week. But now that it's taped, and I've seen there's a few places popping up, but now that it's taped, it changes. There really will be low limits and stuff because it's taped. It's not even live.
Yeah.
You're betting, like, it's one thing to bet on a scripted event. At least you're betting on a live scripted event.
I would think if WrestleMania is taped, they're going to circle things at 50 and a big book would go 100. They can't go much more than that.
No, they can't. Because they're, and you know what? They'll know that there's a pattern if somebody leaks it or somebody knows something.
Yes.
But Vince will have your, like, castrated. He'll have your balls in a vice. Like, if you ruin WrestleMania and you leak it. So I bet you even in the wrestling world, other wrestlers don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I bet you Vince told people, don't tell anyone else what happened in your match. Just say you went well. And you know what I mean? Don't say anything to people about it. Right. Cause it's like a virus. People talk.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, don't tell anyone. Oh, I told my wife and she told her sister and the sister after a couple of glasses of wine, don't tell anyone, but Roman Reigns loses. Right. Like
everybody knows.
But speaking of that, Roman Reigns tapped out because he got leukemia. So he said his immune system, he can't risk it right now. So Vince has got problems with that. So that's what I'm saying. You see my point I'd bring this up is you see that all these guys are trying, Dana and these leagues, the NBA and Vince McMahon. And look at the nightmare Vince is going through with this, right? He's got a tape in. He's got now guys are out. Look at Dana White. Joe Rogan doesn't want to do it now. Like
and you set
it up and then the other stuff starts happening.
Oh, the XFL, that's more money there. Like this guy.
What a nightmare for Vince this year.
Think about this guy. He goes to bed. Like he's got so much money. It's like, oh honey, I couldn't get through the football season. We're screwed there. Wrestling's not the same. We got no crowd. Like it is a disaster.
I'll tell you what, man, like him. He's got less money than he did a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, bro. Way less. Way
like, even for Vince, like he's rich, Vince, like he's a billionaire, but he's taking a hit. Like you said, he put $375 million into the XFL. What did he get out of it? 5 weeks.
Yep.
And it's not even his fault. It was good. It was going well. Like, you know what I mean? Like the league was a success. And look at what he said. We're going on. We're not going to stop. And they're like, oh, you're going to stop. All right. Like,
you're stopping.
Yeah, he tried to play in Seattle that day, and they were like, you're nuts. We're closing the stadium. You're not playing. And but, I don't listen. It's one thing we're to say, oh, I feel bad for Vince McMahon. it is what it is. He's not starving. He's got more money still than you and I will ever have, Cap. Yep. But no, all kidding aside, like, he put a lot of money into the XFL, didn't get it much back from this. WrestleMania, WWE, the ratings sucked, like, leading into this. And there's bad word of mouth right now. It's taped, it sucks. Yeah. And, like, it'll sell because of the novelty of it. And it's another thing, Cam, like All Elite is good because they're good. WrestleMania, how the hell do you have WrestleMania without fireworks and without the big stage? And, like, everything is image with the WWE, and it won't be good in a small little... I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, they'll have to get really smart and creative. I'm not saying they can't with video screens. And I'm talking, like, you're going to have to make it dark and look cool. Like, you can't just have guys in a gym wrestling, Cam. It's WrestleMania. It has to look good.
But that's the thing. So far, since this happened, Gabe, and things have changed, they haven't had a plan. That's why the other federations are gaining ground, right? The word on the street, the word of mouth. You watch the product, the smaller gym.
Yeah, the guys night they went to, like, best of. Whenever anything does that, you know you're screwed.
Yep.
Like, basically, like, they had Triple H introducing old great matches and stuff. It's like, wow, you guys realize, like, to me, that said, yeah, we got to regroup and think, like, how we got to move forward with this right now. But it should, listen, it's something to watch next week. But we talked about the discipline stuff, Cam, and I said, nah, you know, we're not going to change. I'm really going to try moving forward too. I really am going to try moving forward too. Look, in the last week, Cam, I remember last Sunday night, I bet on an Australian soccer game. Okay. Yep. I won the bet.
Nice.
I did not place another bet until the Florida Derby.
Yep. That's pretty good discipline.
I won the bet.
Yep.
And I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I didn't win a lot of money this week. I wish I bet more on these things in hindsight. But I'm like, I'm actually up more. Let's imagine every sport was going on. I would have bet 100 games in like 4 days. And even if my record was not bad with the juice, it adds up, Cam. Less really is more, man, to making money in this stuff.
I got to be honest with you. You called my bluff and you're like, oh, you want all that money and – yeah, I overextended myself with horse racing that day at the Florida Derby. Like, it's gone. It's gone. I'll tell you.
Firing off all day. All my
horses come third and fourth. Like, everything. It was just a disaster. I had this chewing gum horse. He falls out of the gate. But anyway, you know what the crazy thing is? I did that show with Mayo. I had that horse that came second at 80-1 and the third.
Oh, yeah.
The problem was the horse that I like, Independence Hall, he finished fifth. If he finishes third or fourth, I hit a triactor and a super. Do you know what those things paid, Gabe? The 80-1 horse came second after Tis the Law. That's the thing.
I gotta be honest.
All horses, he cost me a lot of bread.
I was pissed off. I was busy. I was taping stuff and whatever. And I didn't even think the race was gonna go on. I was like, man, they're gonna shut this down. They're really gonna do this. And then finally I was like, you know what? Well, I knew the favorite was going to win. I didn't really handicap it that much, Cap. Like I said, I just knew. I was like, whatever. I'm not going to waste my time handicapping this. Tis the Law is going to win.
Yeah,
and I'm good with the Florida Derby. And I knew, Cam, like, Tis the Law basically, like, races at Gulfstream. It's like his home track.
Yeah.
Like, he's won twice there already. There was another race in the mud where he finished second and really against good competition. He's a tough horse. I knew he was a better horse. So I didn't realize there was an 80-1. And when I saw the 80-1, I'm like, oh, man, I would have taken him. I always take the longest shot. And I do it to place and show. I don't even do it to win. Yeah. Right? Because you get a nice payday. I was pissed the whole time. But I got to tell you, like, watching as much horse racing as we have, you could tell, Cam, I tweeted midway through the race. I was like, we got this. You can see Tis the Law on the outside, bro. He was, like, hanging around fourth and fifth. I didn't panic for a second, Cam. That was a great drive. It was a great ride. Like, they did everything perfect. They never panicked. He got on the outside, and then he just took off.
Oh, you could tell he was going to win. When they're coming around before the stretch after, you know, the third quarter pull, he's making his move inside, and he didn't have to go too wide. Independence Hall, which is a really good horse that lost his hoof in the other race, The problem was Joel Rosario is one of the hottest jockeys, Gabe, but he took him in that trip. He worked too hard early, and then he had nothing in the stretch run. That's what people don't understand, I think, about horse racing. It's not your horse. The jockey is so huge. There's so many things that they have to avoid. Traffic, getting in a good position. Like, people don't understand, man. You need a perfect trip. It's like what you talk about when an over-under in a Minnesota Timberwolves-Wizards game. 251. Yeah, we need a perfect trip, and that's the thing in horse racing. You can't get caught up in traffic. You got to come out of the gate clean, and it doesn't happen.
Let's get to a couple of questions, actually.
Sure. Love it.
Yeah. Here's our boy, Hingis. Hingis Hasek. Thanks for tuning in, Hingis. What's the first place when you go back to Vegas you're thinking about going to? Like, you know, you go to Vegas. You're a Fremont Street guy.
I am.
I've been thinking about this, though. Being cooped up and everything. I think, you know, you and I, we're both too cheap at times about things like that. You know, I thought about this question. I'm like, I'm going to live it up a bit, Cam. Like, we go back, I'm going to stay at the Wynn or something, bro. Instead of, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to stay at the Wynn or like Mandalay again and stuff. Instead of Excalibur or Fremont Street. I'm going to live it up a bit when I go back. You?
Yeah, it's interesting, Gabe. But I find the cheaper properties fun, though. You've always had a good time at Sunset Station or Palace Station.
Not anymore. I'm older. No? I've changed. I'm a sellout, Cam. I'm a sellout.
I'm still a dirtbag.
I actually like the nicer restaurants. I go with the chick and the girl. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I don't mind like staying in the, like, I don't want to go bottom of the barrel. I don't mind mid-grade. And I got to tell you, like, staying at the Sun Coast where the locals were, I really liked it. Better blackjack players, good sports book. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things way out of the way. That's what I would suggest to people. If you're sick of Vegas, go to where the locals go. South Point.
No, I get it. What, to party and stuff? You know what I mean? I like, you know me. I'm still, I'm not highbrow, but I'm just dating. Like, I have stayed at nicer places. I've raised it up a notch a bit over the years. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's funny. Somebody saw me and didn't see me in years. They're like, you know what? They're like, man, you dress a lot differently than you used to. And they're like, so it's kind of an insult. I don't know if it was a compliment.
Yeah, no.
Somebody said to me,
collars on them, right?
Yeah, somebody said to me, they're like, they said, man, last time I saw you a few years ago, you didn't care about your looks. And they said, now... Instead of seeing you're wearing like suits and blazers and like you're shaved.
Actually, it's a very good point because you used to wear like those jeans. Like you always had like the jeans, the shoes, like kind of like an MMA style shirt. You're wearing more. Hey, you're dressing for success. The owners of the company want collars. We're providing them.
Well, the thing is, yeah, there's no turning back now once you start wearing
it. My buddy Mike said,
I tried. I told you. Yeah, you too. I tried to wear a Mets jersey the other day. I was going to do the show in a Mets jersey. It didn't work. The pinstripe, it did not work, you know?
You just look like a complete loser. Like, it's very tough, especially a basketball jersey. I just look like a fat.
And I tried it once, Cam. There was one night I did it. I went old school, Morenci style. I wore a hoodie, like the old Jack hoodie. It was almost like what I wore in Fight Network all the time. And I looked in the camera, and I was like, man, I look like a roadie. Like, I look like the guy that would be getting the stage set up for the host before. Yeah. And like, all right, now you're set to go, and I'm going to get out of the chair now. And now the guy in the suit sits down. Like, I was like, nah, I can't wear that anymore. Even me, I was like, nah, there's no turning back now.
One thing I'll never do, Gabe, is wear an undershirt. Like, if you're an older guy, like, and you're wearing a shirt with no sleeves, like, you better be a NASCAR fan or other than that, because that's something I just can't pull off either. You better be a good drinker. And like most sports.
Somebody asked, what would the Super Bowl be like without any fans? Will there be fans? Wow, that's
crazy. Parker. I don't want to think about it, to be honest with you. Let's not get there yet. Let's try to get through these months.
Look, Kirk Herbstreit said last week he doesn't think there's college football or NFL football. Yeah. And he said the reason why is because unless there's a vaccination, how are you going to do it? So, listen, I think there'll be NFL football, but I think it is a legitimate point that there might not be fans in NFL football next year. They can say, all right, we're going to go on. But, guys, this is going to go through the summer and stuff. And you can't, like we talked about last week, what do you do? What, August 29th, you're going to put 89,000 people in a stadium together?
To us, though, Gabe, think about this. Even though you do the show at the Meadowlands, with football and the viability of betting and fantasy football, that's one sport. You're thinking about all the other games. We just need
updates. I thought about that, too, though, Ken.
Live.
When football's back, is FanDuel going to open? Are they going to sit in there? Like, or is it just going to be online? You know what I mean?
A lot of things are going to be online.
Yeah. Like, it's All right. Kyle Hamburg's got a great question, actually, but we're going to have to get to it tomorrow. Because we're running out of racetrack here, as the late, great Ted Teeven would say. We'll get to him tomorrow. But he said, what's the first five things you think about with the city when the city of Atlanta come to mind? But we don't have enough time to get that. It's a great question, though.
A lot of good things, Hamburg. I'll give you my list tomorrow. I like Atlanta. I actually like I'll tell you a story, too. It's a good one. I know Pharrell was the voice of the Atlanta Thrashers. My buddy did stuff for them, too. It's cool.
Atlanta, for me, we'll get to it. We'll talk a little Atlanta sports and everything tomorrow. For me, Atlanta, I've never really been there much. I've been there, but it was bad. Like, I had no money, and I was taking a bus across America. And let me tell you, Cam, it was like pretty rough, bro.
The bus station of
Atlanta, like every city we'd stop in, I'd go for a walk, you know, sort of step out, you know what I mean? And I stepped out near the bus station in Atlanta. I walked about a block and I realized, I'm going to go back to the station.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the bus station.
Like, Hamburg, it's not a soft town. Atlanta's very,
very
soft.
It's nice. I'm just saying, this was like 20 years ago, or 15 years ago. At the Super Bowl when I was there, we were coming through Houston. But yeah, it was a rough neighborhood around the bus station, let me tell you. But Atlanta's a great town, too. I'm a fan. Like, pretty nice. Like, cheap property there and stuff. All right, great times kicking it with you. 2-hour format. GTD is back, baby.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.